You know, there's a specific statistic that I read recently that, well, it actually keeps me up at night.
Oh, yeah.
It's about what they call the efficiency gap in clinical research. If you look at, say, the last 20 years, we've seen this absolute explosion in biological understanding.
Genomics, mRNA.
Right, all of it. Personalized medicine, the actual science is moving at just light speed,
Right.
but the logistical process of running a clinical trial, it has actually gotten slower and a lot more expensive.
It's the great paradox of modern medicine, isn't it? The science is firmly in the 21st century, but the administration often feels like it's, I don't know, stuck in the 1990s.
Right. And that is the tension we are looking at today. We have a stack of documentation here for a platform called Medtora.
Medtora.
And at first glance, if you just skim the surface, it looks like, well, just another software tool for clinical trials. But when you actually read through their unified clinical platform specs,
And the compliance architecture.
yeah, that especially, it feels like they are trying to solve a very specific and very painful part of that efficiency gap.
They are. And the problem isn't just paperwork is hard. The problem is that the regulatory environment, especially here in Europe, has become a minefield. You have GDPR, you have the new European health data space coming online, you have complex medical device regulations. For a researcher, navigating that while also trying to cure a disease is, it's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube while running a marathon.
So the mission for this deep dive is, I think, pretty clear. We want to understand how you take that regulatory nightmare and actually turn it into a functional infrastructure. And we are going to look at Medtora, pronounced Medtora, as the case study for this.
Exactly. We're going to pull apart their documentation on, I think, three fronts: their compliance-first architecture, this whole concept of a unified platform, and their business model, which is actually quite different.
Okay, but before we even get into the features, there is something in the company profile that just jumped out at me immediately. In an industry that is usually dominated by these massive, faceless US-based conglomerates, Medtora is explicitly, proudly Danish. Medtora APS.
It stands out, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And they make a huge point about data residency. They state very clearly that all data stays strictly within the EU.
Right.
Now, I want to play devil's advocate here for a second. We live in a globalized world. I use cloud services every day that bounce my data from Virginia to Dublin to Singapore. Why does it matter so much that a clinical trial platform is Danish?
That is the multi-million-dollar question. And to understand why it matters, you have to understand the legal quicksand of the Cloud Act in the US versus GDPR here in Europe.
Okay, let's break that down because I think a lot of people just assume the cloud is this, I don't know, neutral place in the sky.
It is far from it. The US Cloud Act essentially allows US law enforcement to compel US tech companies to hand over data. And that's regardless of where that server is physically located. So even if Amazon or Microsoft has a server sitting physically in Frankfurt, if the company controlling it is American, there is a legal backdoor.
Which is a direct conflict with GDPR, which says European patient data is sacred and sovereignty must be maintained.
Precisely. And for a clinical sponsor, the person actually paying for the trial, that conflict is a liability ticking time bomb. If you were running a study in Berlin or Stockholm and you are using a US-based legacy platform, you're relying on these very complex, very fragile legal frameworks like the data privacy framework to justify sending patient data across the Atlantic.
And those frameworks have a habit of getting struck down by European courts every few years. I remember Safe Harbor and then Privacy Shield. They keep getting invalidated.
They do. So when Medtora says, "We are Danish, we are EU-based, the data stays here," they aren't just talking about server latency. They are selling legal immunity from that whole US-EU data conflict. It's a safety by geography approach.
So it prevents what you've called the retrofit trap. I love that phrase, by the way. Can we dig into that a little more?
It's something I see constantly in this field. You buy a big, shiny platform built in California. It was designed for FDA regulations and US HIPAA laws. Then the sales team tries to sell it to a European hospital. Suddenly they have to patch it, they have to add weird legal addendums, they have to tweak the fields to match EU standards.
It's like buying a car with the steering wheel on the left and trying to drive it in London. You can do it, but it's dangerous and awkward.
And if you crash, you are the one liable. Whereas Medtora implies that because they started in Denmark, GDPR wasn't a patch they added on, it was the concrete foundation.
Compliance by design.
Exactly. When you build the architecture with privacy as the first constraint, you don't have to retrofit. And for a researcher, that changes the daily workflow. You aren't constantly second-guessing if you're allowed to click share on a file.
So that's the why. The geography isn't a detail. It's the strategy. Okay, let's move to the what. The documentation calls Medtora a unified clinical platform.
Right.
Now, I have to be honest. Unified is one of those words that marketing departments abuse. My toaster claims to be part of a unified kitchen experience. What does it actually mean here?
In the clinical world, unified is the antidote to siloed. Think about the legacy setup. You usually have a Frankenstein stack of tools.
Paint the picture for us. What does that day-to-day look like?
Okay, so say you are a study coordinator. You have one piece of software for e-consent, getting the patient to sign up. That's System A.
Got it.
Then you have an ADC electronic data capture, where you actually type in the blood pressure and lab results.
Mm-hmm.
That's System B.
Okay.
Then you have a massive Excel spreadsheet on a shared drive to track payments and visits. And that's System C.
And I'm guessing none of them talk to each other?
Never. So imagine this scenario. Mm-hmm. The patient withdraws from the study in System A. They say, I'm out. But you are busy, and you forget to update System B. So you keep entering data on a patient who is legally withdrawn. And finance keeps paying for the visits in System C.
Oh, wow.
6 months later, an auditor comes in, sees the discrepancy, and you have a major finding. That is a regulatory disaster.
That sounds like a complete nightmare.
It's a Tuesday in clinical research. So Medtora's unified claim is that these aren't separate tools. The consent, the data capture, the participant management, the document storage. It's all one code base, one database.
So if a patient withdraws consent,
the system locks the data entry immediately.
Mm.
You literally cannot enter data for a patient who hasn't consented or who has withdrawn. The workflow itself enforces the rules.
That seems so obvious. Why hasn't everyone done this?
Because it's hard to build. Most of the big giants grew by acquisition. They bought an e-consent company, then they bought a data company, and they basically duct tape them together. Medtora seems to have built this organically from the ground up, which allows for that seamless flow.
I notice in the source material they talk a lot about simplicity versus bloat. Is that related to this unified idea?
Oh, heavily. There is a tendency in enterprise software to measure value by the number of buttons on the screen. Look, we have 4,000 features.
Right.
But if you are a nurse at a research site, you don't want 4,000 features. You want to enter the patient's vitals and go home.
It's the feature factory problem. You build things nobody asks for just so you can say you have them.
Exactly. Medtora seems to be targeting the mid-market of research medical devices, biotech, investigator-led trials. These groups don't need a platform that can launch a shuttle to Mars.
They need usability.
Yes. If the software is too complex, the site staff won't use it correctly, and your data quality just tanks.
Let's double-click on one specific workflow you mentioned, e-consent, because the sources heavily emphasize this. The old way of consent is, it's comedy.
It's tragic comedy is what it is.
Here is a clipboard with 20 pages of dense medical jargon. Please sign the last page with a pen that is running out of ink. Then we will photocopy it, scan the photocopy, and put the original in a basement that might flood.
And hope we don't lose it before the FDA inspection.
Right. So how does Medtora upgrade this?
Well, obviously it's digital, but the key isn't just that it's on a screen. It's the traceability. This is where we get into that alphabet soup of standards they list. ISO 44155, MDR, and crucially, 21 CFR Part 11.
Okay, stop there. 21 CFR Part 11, I saw that in the notes. That is a U.S. FDA standard.
It is.
So if they are so focused on Europe and the EU, why are they bragging about a U.S. standard?
That's a really sharp observation. It's because 21 CFR Part 11 is the global gold standard for data integrity.
Okay, explain the difference between that and GDPR.
GDPR is about privacy. Who can see the data? It protects the identity. 21 CFR Part 11 is about integrity. Is the data real? Has it been tampered with? Can we prove who signed it and when?
I see.
Even if you never intend to submit your data to the US FDA, complying with Part 11 tells the world our digital signatures are bulletproof.
So it's a signal of quality.
Exactly. It means that when a patient signs that consent form on a tablet, the system generates an audit trail that is impossible to fake. It records the time, the date, the version of the form, the identity of the signer. It locks that document.
Which solves the version control nightmare, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The number one finding in audits is often the patient signed version 2 of the consent form, but the trial was already on version 3.
Wow.
That invalidates the data.
Wow.
In a unified digital system like Medtora, the system simply won't show the patient the wrong version. It automates the compliance.
It prevents the human error before it can even happen.
And that is the core value. It's not just going paperless to save trees. It's going digital to save the study from itself.
You know, all of this, the unified platform, the robust compliance, the data residency, it sounds expensive. High-end infrastructure usually comes with a high-end price tag.
Right.
And this brings us to the third pillar in the documentation, the business model.
The business is science.
We all know how software pricing usually works. It's the seat license model. You pay per user.
Which is the death of collaboration.
Explain that. Why is paying per user bad for a clinical trial?
Well, just think about the incentives. You have a fixed grant. You have, like, say, $500,000 to run this study. You buy a software license. Every time you want to add a person, a research assistant, a statistician, a monitor, you get hit with another bill.
That'll be another $150 a month, please.
Exactly. So what do? You start cutting corners. You share passwords.
Which is a massive security violation.
Huge. Or you just don't invite the people who need to be there. You don't give the monitor access so they can't check the data remotely. Mm-hmm. You create friction just to save money.
So what does MedTora do differently?
Their documentation emphasizes project-based pricing.
Meaning?
Meaning you pay for the study. You pay for the work, not the workers. It doesn't matter if you have 5 nurses or 50 nurses at the site. It doesn't matter if you have 1 monitor or a team of 10. The price is based on the complexity of the project, not the headcount.
That seems surprisingly rational.
It aligns with how research is funded. Grants are project-based. Budgets are project-based. The software pricing should be project-based.
It provides predictability.
Yes. You know, on day one, what the cost will be on day 300, there are no success penalties where growing your team costs you more.
And they mentioned transparency explicitly in the source text?
Which is rare. Usually pricing in this industry is a black box. Call us for a quote. Usually means we will guess how much money you have and charge you that. MedTora seems to be pushing for a more transparent, flat rate approach.
It ties back to that theme of simplicity we talked about earlier. Whether it's the user interface or the billing, they're just trying to remove the friction.
Exactly.
So let's zoom out. We've covered a lot of ground here. If I am a listener working at a biotech startup in Copenhagen or a medical device company in Munich, why is MedTora the strategic choice? What's the real aha moment?
I think the aha moment is realizing that compliance shouldn't be your job.
Say more about that.
If you choose a US-centric platform or a disjointed legacy stack, you, the researcher, are forced to be the bridge. You are the one checking if the server is legal. You're the one checking if the consent version is right. You're the one copying data from system A to system B.
You are doing the heavy lifting that the software should be doing for you.
Right. By choosing a platform like MedTora, which is built for the European reality, you are offloading that cognitive load.
Mm-hmm.
You are outsourcing the compliance anxiety to the architecture of the software itself.
It's turning compliance fatigue into a background process.
It becomes invisible. And that is what good infrastructure does. It disappears. When you turn on the tap, you don't think about the water treatment plant. You just want clean water.
Mm-hmm.
When you run a trial, you shouldn't be thinking about GDPR clauses. You should be thinking about the patient.
So to recap the pillars we found in the research today. First, the foundation. It's Danish. It's EU-based. Data stays here. That is non-negotiable for data sovereignty. Pillar 2, compliance by design. It's ready for EHDS, GDPR, MDR. It's not retrofitted. It's native.
And backed by global standards like 21 CFR Part 11.
Pillar 3, the unified workflow. From that first e-consent signature all the way to the final audit lock, it's one system. No silos, no copy-pasting.
Ensuring data integrity at every single step.
And finally, pillar 4, the business model. Transparent, project-based pricing that actually encourages collaboration rather than punishing it.
It really is a compelling package when you view it as a whole.
You know, we often talk about innovation on this show. Usually we are geeking out over a new CRISPR technique or a bionic limb, the shiny object.
The things that make the headlines.
Exactly. But looking at MedTora, I'm realizing that infrastructure can be innovative too. It's quieter.
That is actually the thought I want to leave the listener with today. We have this bias where we think innovation only equals new molecule or new device. But think about the speed of science.
Speed is everything.
If a researcher spends, say, 40% of their time fighting with spreadsheets or worrying about an audit, that is 40% of their time not analyzing data.
Not finding the cure.
So if you remove that friction,
you accelerate the science.
Yes. If compliance becomes invisible because the software handles it, how many more treatments could we get to patients next year? How much faster can we validate a new medical device?
That's a powerful perspective. The software isn't just a container for the research, it's an accelerator for it.
Precisely. Medtora suggests a future where the researcher just focuses on the research. And frankly, considering the health challenges we face globally, that is the efficiency boost we desperately need.
Well, that is a fantastic place to leave it. To our listeners, whether you are designing a protocol right now or just fascinated by the hidden machinery that makes medical science possible, we hope this deep dive gave you a new lens to look through.
It was a pleasure unpacking this.
That's it for this deep dive. Stay curious, keep asking the hard questions about your tools, and we'll catch you on the next one.